This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Martin Walker, author of the Bruno Chief of Police series. Your newest book, and your ninth in this group, is Fatal Pursuit. Welcome to our program.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Bruno and his mysteries of the French countryside. Who is he, and how did he become your main character?
Well, for nearly 20 years now, my family and I, we've had a house in the Périgord region of France, which is in the southwest of France, inland from Bordeaux. Lots of wine, the culinary heartland of France, foie gras and truffles and so on. And when I first moved to this place, I became fascinated by the sheer amount of history that it has. It's the center of most of what we know about prehistory, the Lascaux cave paintings and so on. And I became fascinated by that and fascinated by the area, by the food, the climate, the entire mood of the place. And I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. And before that, most of my books have been classic journalistic books about history and foreign politics and foreign policy and so on. And I suddenly felt the urge to write some fiction about to try and describe this amazing place. And I was in the local tennis club and met the local village policeman, who's called Pierrot, and who never arrests anybody, hates to wear a gun, spends all of his spare time teaching the kids to play rugby in winter and tennis in summer. And he became my tennis partner and a good friend. He's a great cook. And I thought, with this fellow, I've got a most wonderful character. I've already got the location. All I need now is a plot. And since Pierrot was a country policeman, a village policeman, it would have to be a crime story or a mystery story. So that's how I began.
Well, how did your latest book, Fatal Pursuit, come about?
Well, my eldest daughter, Kate, is a journalist on Formula One. That's the motorsports racing. And they have these international championships every year, and she goes to about 25 cities all over the world where they have the races every year. And she asked me once if I'd ever heard about the story of the lost Bugatti. And it turns out that back in World War II, a very famous car was lost somewhere in the Périgord. It was one of four models of a most extraordinary car called the Bugatti Type 57C Atlantic. It was only four of them were made by Ettore Bugatti, who called it the most beautiful car in the world. Of these four, one was bought by Ralph Lauren about 15 years ago, and he spent about $10 million. A second one was bought by the California Mullen Museum for Automobiles a couple of years ago, and they paid around about $37 million for it. So it's the most valuable car in the world. The third one was destroyed in a train crash in France, and the fourth one disappeared in the Périgord. And when my daughter told me this, I thought, aha, this has got to be a case for Mr. Bruno. And it's even better because we know that, or we're pretty sure that this car, when it disappeared, was being driven by one of two men, two very famous 1930s racing drivers, a Frenchman, Robert Benoit, who had won the French, German, Belgian Grand Prix, and his English friend, William Grover Williams, who had won the British Grand Prix, the French, the Italian. And in World War II, these two guys started a resistance network against the Germans, organized parachute arms drops from the Royal Air Force, and organized a sabotage campaign against French factories that were building trucks for the German war machine. They were both captured by the Gestapo and shot, and the car disappeared. We've got no idea what happened to it. And so in this story, the hunt for the car takes on a new urgency.
And in your story about the Bugatti, there's some international crimes as well, right?
That's right, because one thing that I found out from a French friend of mine who works in their security services is that the international auctions for these classic cars, they've been worried about because it's a way of laundering money. So, for example, if you are somewhere in the Middle East, you go to an auction in, say, France, you buy a car, an old Ferrari or Maserati, you pay $5-10 million for it, you ship it back to the Middle East, you change the registration so it has a new owner, the new owner takes it back to, say, Germany, sells it in an auction there, and lo and behold, he's got $7-10 million in laundered legal cash at his disposal. And so one of the concerns about this is it could be a way for for terrorism to finance their international operations.
Do you suppose the car in your story still exists?
Well, I'd like to think so. We just don't know. Certainly people have been looking for it for a long time, but the track always goes cold because of the simple chaos around France, or this part of France, particularly during World War II. There was a very strong resistance network in the Périgord, and the Germans were particularly ruthless in suppressing it. A lot of people got killed. Chateaus and other places where there was some connection with these drivers were burned down by the Nazis. So the trail really has gone very, very cold. But it's kind of hard to disappear a car altogether, particularly this one, since its bodywork was made of a new alloy, including magnesium, so it wouldn't simply have rusted away.
Well, the area's history comes up in every one of your books, especially World War II, and often linked to Nazi evil. You have lots of German readers and visitors. Do they comment on that?
No, I think they're all pretty well aware of just how awful the German occupation was. One of the next villages to my own, Ruffignac, was burned down in 1944 by the Germans, burned totally. A bit further north in Oradour-sur-Glane, over 500 women and children were locked inside the village church, which was set alight, and anybody who tried to come out was shot. In Toul, just a bit further over to the east from me, 100 people were hanged in the streets. It was a very, very brutal occupation, partly because the resistance was so strong in this area, and the Germans were quite ruthless in trying to put it down.
One of the glories about Bruno in your books is your description of his skillful cooking in his little country home. So one of the things that I've wondered about is, does he really have a ham hanging up in the kitchen for months?
Oh, yes, and so do I. I mean, a lot of us do in this part of France. I mean, my kitchen, I'm in my house, it's a very old farmhouse, and we've got beams running up and down the kitchen. We've got strings of peppers, strings of garlic. We've got hams, we've got smoked sausages, all hanging there as they have in houses around here for hundreds of years. It's just the way the particular community is, because on the whole, this is an area which thinks that food is one of the most important things in life, and we like to eat well. I mean, I have my own chickens in my garden, as do many of my friends, because the quality of the eggs is that much better. All through the summer, we live off from our vegetable garden. On the whole, I think it's very seldom that I eat anything in France that comes from more than, say, 5 miles from where I live. I mean, when I buy my veal, I don't go to a shop. I get it from the farmer, and I know the cows and the local cheesemaker. He has a number of cows, and he had so many he was running out of French names. So he asked me to name two of the new ones. And so he's now got two cows called Margaret Thatcher and Hillary Clinton.
Well, tell us about your cookbook, your Bruno cookbook.
Well, my best market for these books, for some reason, turns out to be Germany, and a lot of readers wrote in to my publisher saying, look, we like to cook from the recipes in the novels, but where is the Bruno cookbook? So my wife and I produced one, and it came out initially in German, although we're now negotiating for other languages. And to my great surprise, it became the Swiss cookbook of the year. It won the gold medal for the German Academy, Gastronomic Academy. And then it won the world's best French cookbook prize from Gourmand International last year. So I think it was more the quality of the food and the tradition of the Périgord than our recipes, but it was very, very heartening to get this kind of response.
Well, I look forward to seeing it in English.
So do I.
One of the threads in the series is Bruno's search for the woman of his dreams. How's that going for him?
Well, he keeps finding and falling in love with these splendid women. But Bruno, it always falls for women who are strong, independent, determined to make their own lives, to forge their own career. And so there is this, Bruno's a very cheerful fellow who likes the world, likes life, likes his food and his drink. But there's this sort of vein of sadness because he's just aching to be a father.
Well, absolutely. Thank you. My guest is Martin Walker, author of Fatal Pursuit, published by Knopf. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.